Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Kate Walenga is joining us, forensic psychologist. We're going to be talking about Brian Koberger and discussing the alibi and where things are at in that case. It's been amusing watching some of these developments or some of these claims out of the defense of Koberger. Just throwing randomness into the air is what it feels like lately. Things that are not based on any sort of fact, claims that are not based in reality, really is what we're talking about here, especially the alibi. Hey, I like to drive at night. They know that they can't argue it because there's evidence showing he was driving around that area on that night. So they're leaning into it, hoping maybe they can confuse someone. What's your thoughts, Kate?
I think he's probably thinking that, well, they can't prove a negative.
Okay.
You know, they can't prove I wasn't doing something. And, like, that's cute and all. But, like, here's a guy who's kind of proven that he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, which is such a cliche. Like, most inmates, who whether they are in the process of going through adjudication or whether they are already incarcerated, they don't actually have very high sense of self-esteem. He seems to be the exception that proves the rule. Like, he really thinks that he's got an answer for everything. And the reality is, like, if it was just cell phone data that was pointing toward him,
yeah,
then okay, that's a reasonable enough, excuse for here's why I was in the area. But there's too much. Like, it's just, he's starting to sound ridiculous by this point. He's starting to sound like a clown. And at some point, he's going to realize that.
What I'm wondering is the attorney, Ann Taylor, she's the one who's having to deliver all of these statements. How many of these, this strategy, if it is a strategy, or how many of these statements do you think are coming from her direction and expertise versus it's the client, and ultimately, at the end of the day, she has to do what the client wants?
My suspicion in knowing defense attorneys is that, by and large, she doesn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Right now, because anything that she says, whether it's in a deposition or whether it's at a press conference, that becomes fodder for the actual trial.
Mm-hmm.
And you get locked in to that story. And then do you go to court and say, well, I was lying then, but I'm telling the truth now? Or do you say, well, I was telling the truth then, but I'm lying now? Like, either way, you don't want to get caught in a lie. Mm-hmm. And so by and large, you don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But if your client is sort of directing you to, especially, he strikes me as the type, and this is full conjecture,
yeah,
but he strikes me as the type to say, well, if you don't do it, I'll find somebody else who will. I'll write a letter to the news media, or yeah, I'll make a phone call or something like that. Like, because I want people to know this. Like, he studies criminology. Criminology is so different from forensic psychology, and it's so different from law in general, either prosecution or defense. And I think he's learning that right about now.
Very much so. It does make you wonder. I was making the reference earlier. It almost is, I'm speculating, is she being held hostage to a certain extent of exactly what you just said? If you don't do this, I'm going to do that. And it could lead to, being accused of being ineffective counsel or something of that nature in order to keep things on track. She's just kind of like, okay, you hang yourself if you want. Or is there a strategy here? Is there something here where this is going to go back to maybe the cell phone data, the triangulation? And if they can somehow poke enough holes in that or create reasonable doubt around the idea that, well, maybe that data is not that accurate, then that creates an even more reasonable doubt, even though it does kind of come from a ridiculous alibi of I just like to drive around at night. But it does provide an opening to really attack that data and say just how inaccurate or accurate it is, or the possible proclivities of what that sort of data does present.
I mean, it could be in the process too, strategically speaking, of let's cut a day or two off the trial, because cell phone data in an actual trial is so incredibly boring. Like, it just is, because you have to go through pages and pages of data and documents and numbers, and those of us who watch Dateline or Forensics Files, we're like, oh yeah, cell phone tower data, no big deal. But the reality is, in a courtroom, you have to comb through it and be very precise. And so if they can say, okay, stipulated that the phone was in that area, but we have a different excuse for why, then it helps the tenor of the trial a little bit. It helps the feeling that, like, okay, look, we're helping as much as we can, I think, and like, he's a smart guy who sounds stupid. And having gone through grad school, let me tell you, that's super common, that people think like that they're really smart in one very specific area, or they're really book smart, but they don't know when to shut up. And that's kind of what this is sounding like.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.